your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, the great book of Jeremiah, he whom God launches forth. That's even more powerful than an apostle, which is one sent of God. I mean, he launched old Jeremiah before he was ever in the womb to lead, to guide, to direct, and to be a prophet to tell us what tomorrow brings. Yes, even ahead of now, like tomorrow's newspaper. In this 10th chapter, he said, men do funny things. Instead of worshiping me, Almighty God, the creator of all things, they'll go out and take an old palm tree stump, no limbs on it, and shape it up like a masculine thing, and deck it all out and worship it. Something God made, they want to worship instead of worshiping God. You know something? He doesn't like it. Do you blame him? And, hey, it's not too much different today when people dream up and let their imagination run off in strange religions and then claim it's holy. And they leave God out of the equation. They got problems. And he continues on after talking about the stump worshipers. And he talks about men's knowledge is brutish in verse 14 of this 10th chapter. He said, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They're deader than a hammer. They're not going to help you. Only God can help you. You want to get that into your head and let it sink in. And never forget Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, where he said, all I want, don't want your burnt animals, you eat them. I want you to obey my voice. I want you to be my people, and I will be your God, and everything will be real good for you. If you'll remember that, that's real simple. And if you model your life after that, you won't have any problems, my friend. He'll take care of the rough stuff for you. So, having said that, he goes on then to his portion as Jacob. Is not like them, for he is the former of all things, our father is, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance, and so he does. He quoted there in that 16th verse from the great Song of Moses, which people that are on their way to heaven even sing, that God's people are his inheritance. He's proud of them. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9, where God loves his children. And he leads them. You're never alone. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. But a lot of people sure leave him. And that's when you hit the boonies. That's when you hit the rough stuff. So, having said that, chapter 10, the great book of Jeremiah, verse 17, let's pick it up. Let's go with it. A word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. The fortress being that besieged city. Jerusalem's what he's talking about. Mount Zion, specifically, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them that they may find it so. It's going to happen. They're going to pay the price. Now, it is true, but at the same time, there is a second happening of this, and I told you back in verse 11, that entire 11th verse, it's not in Hebrew in the manuscripts. It's in Syriac, which is the language of the captivity, which means you're going captive. The king of Babylon, and to you in the future sense, it means the Antichrist, the king of Babylon, is returning. And after he sits there a while, I'm going to cleanse this place, as Jesus would say in the future sense in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, there's not going to be one stone standing atop another when I cleanse this place. This place told me, I'm going to sling them out. I'm going to clean the place for the millennium. Verse 19, woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. In other words, that's the calamity. That's the way it goes down. Now, in the next few verses to the end of this chapter, as a matter of fact, Jeremiah is going to be speaking for, now get this or you won't understand it, for Zion. He's going to be speaking God's words, but it's really, if it makes it easier for you, Jerusalem speaking, the besieged city. This is what she is crying out, the geographical location. And never forget, from Ezekiel chapter 16, this is God's favorite place in the universe. In Ezekiel 16, God made an eternal covenant with this place. And this place speaks at the mouth of Jeremiah. Verse 20, a city talking now, listen carefully. My tabernacle is spoiled. That's to say my home, my tent. And all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. They're not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore and to set up my curtains. You know, have you ever seen a tent when the tent cords are taut and it's correctly erected and everything is in order and it looks neat? He says, it's all broken down. Why? All you have left is inhabitants, but where are the children? Who are the children? The children that belong there have been replaced by inhabitants. Now, when we get to the 24th chapter of this great book, you're going to find out quite a bit about those inhabitants. They're not they're God's children, all right, but lost children, and not of the house of Israel. Not even, if you would, of the house of Judah. So when God mentions and the city speaks of inhabitants, that means whoever is in the confounds of the city limits, okay? When Antichrist and the fallen angels are there, you'll understand what he's talking about in the 24th chapter. Verse 21 to continue. Again, the city speaking, Mount Zion speaking. For the pastors are become brutish. They're senseless. They got no sense. That's what the word brutish means here. In other words, the shepherds, they don't have any sense at all as far as giving true direction and have not sought the Lord. They get their own little dreams. Because, therefore, they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered. They're going to be deceived. And it's going to happen. You know, if you happen to be in a flock that believes you're going to escape before the false one comes, you're already deceived. You don't even know it. You need to read God's Word. You need to keep yourself informed. Not as man speaks, but as God speaks. Again, all you got to remember is basically Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 7, rather, and verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. All he wants is you to love him, to listen to him, to follow him, and let him bless you. That's what he wants. But he says, this geographical location, this place where the Antichrist is going to stand, I'm going to sling them out of there, and all that's left, the inhabitants are going to be deceived, and they're going to deceive a lot of people in the world. Why? The shepherds have no sense at all. Verse 22, behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate in a den of dragons, that is to say, jackals. This is Antichrist and his little fallen angels coming to set up camp there to be the inhabitants of this land. God said it's going to happen. Now, many people might say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, it's quoted from the New as well. Only you go into more detail in the prophets. Do you know what a prophet is? A prophet foretells the future. God sends them whereby you won't be lost or misled or deceived, that you can understand. Have you ever wondered why Jesus would say, I'm going to cleanse this place, Jerusalem, and there won't be one stone standing? Because of who's there. And it's not God's children. That's when after Antichrist takes over. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, the first thing you know, or you should know when you love God, is that He's in control. Man, if man goes out on his own, he stumbles, he staggers, he guesses, he tries. God leads. This is what you want to remember, verse 24, O Lord, correct me. You help me whenever I'm about to get lost, when I go astray. You help us. But with judgment, in other words, judgment means with justice, with what is right. If I need correction, correct me. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing, unless you bring us to nothing, as he's going to cleanse what is here on this geographical location we're addressing, Zion. So that should be your prayer. You should want God's will in your life. Our Father is not a dead stick somewhere or some dead altar that you're supposed to worship. We're made in His image. He is in the angel's image. As you look there, so you look here. And it was for you to make a choice, aside from God's election, if you had free will, to make your mind up whether you're going to follow Satan, if you're going to be deceived by him, or if you care enough about your Heavenly Father to listen to His Word, His teachings, whereby you're not deceived, and God can count on you, God can use you, you can be a champion of the people simply by pleasing God. So, there's nothing wrong with the prayer of, correct me, straighten me out, because you need God. Okay. Verse 25, pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not. Not on the believers. On the heathen that believe thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. That's to say, even the tribes, your tribes, that won't call on the name. For they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. They've taken this city that was given to him, this land that was given to him, to all 12 tribes. They've eaten it up. That is to say, they have deceived them. And God has scattered them for their own protection, basically. And where are they today? You've heard me say it many times. This book of Jeremiah is written to the tribe of Judah. The house of Israel has already been in captivity for 200 years by the Assyrian. They were taken over the Caucasus Mountains, later called Caucasian, settling Europe, and many of them later migrating to the Americas, Canada. And that's where they are. But that's why they're blessed even today. It's because they're children of God, and they in God we trust, a nation under God, that God promised He would gather back. And there, it is not an accident that God did not leave America and the Americas out of the Bible. They're simply His scattered people regrouped. Do you think God would leave the superpower of superpowers out of the Scripture? Of course not. And I'm not blowing America's horn. It's just that we have the blessings of God, so we deserve it. Why? Because we back Him. We stay with Him. Now, we have the exception occasionally that is senseless, that don't care, but it doesn't take too many of the good that God said, it's worth it. We're going for it. And we're going to have the victory, and we always do with God. So there is that time coming, and God wants you to count on it. That's why that 10th chapter shows you idol worship at its worst. Man's mind, not God's, man's type of worship. You know, you can get men off base and say, we're looking for a new religion. There's nothing new under the sun. Have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. And thank God for that, because you can count on him. You can depend on him. And he's looking for people that will leave off the senselessness, the nonsense, and love him, follow him, do his bidding, listen to my voice. And again, as I brought this verse up, and you're going to have it again in a little different form, chapter 7, verse 23. I'm going to read it again before I start this 11th chapter. But this thing command I them, don't bring me those burnt calves and animals. I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, and it will be well with you. You're going to have it made. You're going to be blessed. And you know, it is wonderful when you walk in his way. You don't have to beg to have a ministry going. You don't even have to take a salary if you really have faith. God takes care of his own. And it is as simple as that. Obey my voice and do it. You see, that's where a lot of people will say, well, I'm going to obey, but they never get around to the doing part. Chapter 11, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, now let's get it straight, who is this word from that is coming? It's from God. This is our Father speaking. 2. Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You let them know. You hear it, and you broadcast it. You tell them. Verse 3. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Now that's pretty strong. Well, is God going to curse them? No, they curse themselves. If you don't have God on your side, you're cursed. You're never going to have any luck at anything. Everything you go to do is going to fail, basically. And that's just how it is. Okay? You see, you never want to forget, God's in control. He can cause good things, and he can also not help you sometimes if you don't deserve it. The Lord did not say, bring down a curse or hard times on the people that love me. No, that's not what it said. The people that don't love him, the people that won't follow him, curse them. Verse 4. You don't have to curse them, don't worry. They bring curses on themselves. Verse 4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace. Man, I mean, they were in bondage, making brick for Pharaoh, saying, obey my voice. Listen to this. Obey my voice and do them. You got it? Not just hear, but do. Do them according to all which I, emphatic, I, command you, so shall you be my people, and I, emphatic, I, will be your God. It's that simple. You know, it is amazing to me, it always has amazed me, how quickly the people that he brought out of that iron furnace, making brick for Pharaoh, getting that whip on their back occasionally, he parts the Red Sea for them, he feeds them, babies them. And kind of like our people always are, if you baby them, they're going to get spoiled. They get to be a poor, me baby. You give them a gift and 3 days in a row, and the fourth day they'll say, you're late. Okay. That's just kind of the frame of mind rather than being a doer. That is to say, to produce fruit, not expect, but produce it. God loves a producer. You know, everything God touched, he hoped would produce fruit. Even man, he said, go replenish. But you got to be a doer, Okay. Now, this has nothing to do with handicapped people. I want to say that. All you have to do is witness for God, and you're doing more than most. Because when a handicapped person can document that they love God, that's a better witness than I can give. Verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers. In other words, God's saying, I keep my word. To give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I say to you, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. And that's the way it is. Amen. That's that, and that's the end of it. If you listen to him, and if you obey him, God never fails. This is why he can judge you justly, because he's always fair. And do you know something? Our Father, when he loves someone, and they return that love and are a doer, he's going to load you up with what you need to do the doing with, okay? You may have to lay the brick, but he'll pile the brick in front of you till you can accomplish whatever it is that God, not you, but God has instructed you to do. Be a doer. He'll give you the means. I know that from experience. God always keeps his oath. He's a man of his word. He's a God of his word. And that's what makes him so wonderful. You know, you can count on that. You can depend on it. That's an anchor in your life. That's stability. That gives you something to grow on, something to go on. Verse 6. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. And there again, and do you know something? This in the future sense is what many of you are going to do when you're delivered up before the false Christ. You're going to proclaim what the Holy Spirit gives you at that moment, as it is written in Mark chapter 13 and Matthew 24. It won't be you talking. It'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. The voice of Almighty God coming from his election, those that have the courage to do, not just to hear, but to do what it is he would have you do. Verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Now, that's what he expects from you, beloved. Do you know something? You might say, well, if it's God telling me what to do, what if I fail? All it takes is trying. You know, we're not perfect people. And we make mistakes. That's why you do the little prayer we learned early. Father, correct me. Correct what I do. Don't worry, he will. But he will stamp what you have done as perfect. And a child tried, just as you would one of your little children you're teaching, you know. When they try, they may stumble a few times, and you're going to take them and you're going to hug them and love them and give them encouragement to get them to try again. And they're going to become doers, and they're going to develop that gift. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He's a God of love. And he expects you to at least make that attempt to try to proclaim. You know, stand up. It's not that big a deal, quite frankly. If you have the truth, it just wants to explode within you to share that truth with the world, to help people, to give people stability and give them something to stand for in their life rather than a bunch of senseless nonsense that comes forth basically from a lot of people. Next verse, verse 8, is that it? Let's go with it. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear. They wouldn't even listen, but walked every one in the imagination or the stubbornness of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, that they did them not. Remember what he said he would do? Curse them. Bring it on them. It's going to happen. And again, remember much of this chapter when we get to the 24th chapter about the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's talking about the bad fig. You see, you got good figs, you got bad figs, and you better know who those bad figs are. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy, you listen good, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem? Whoever lives there. This is why the Kenites, when the Kenites moved into Judea, they became Judeans by geographical location. And that makes them an inhabitant of Jerusalem, makes them automatically a Judeus in the Greek tongue. So anybody, even an Irishman, could go there, and if I was an inhabitant and lived there, I would be a Judean even though I'm Irish. Okay? But you have, Judeus means by birth, or it can't even mean as a resident. Why am I saying that? I want you to note the difference between Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Okay? It's pointing to two all-inclusive groups. Okay? And you need to wake up to that and be a doer about it and understanding. And that, therefore, you'll have a little better understanding of even the controversy today. A conspiracy, rather. Well, who's causing the conspiracy? I don't know. Are you a Christian and you don't know about the devil? You never heard of Satan? You never heard of the false Messiah? Hey, he's not a myth. He's not something in somebody's imagination. He's an entity. And as verse 11 in the last chapter was all in Babylonian tongue, you better know. Not Hebrew, but Babylonian tongue, Syriac. And you better know why. The captivity is coming, but you don't have to go. The only way you can be held captive by the king of Babylon is to believe Babel. And you have the seal of God in your forehead, which simply means this covenant, and you're a doer of it. You can't be had. You can't be deceived. Because you know beforehand that conspiracy. And then into the inhabitants of Jerusalem, you know the good fig from the bad fig, and you do know the difference. Verse 10. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. They broke it all to pieces. They don't listen to me. But then, what is the big deal in that? When go back to Egypt, go back to the deliverance of the people. How long did it take them in the wilderness to turn back to their old ways when God was pampering them, hand feeding them? Moses goes up the mountain 40 days, and when he comes back, there's orgies taking place at the bottom of the mountain. Even after they had seen God open the Red Sea, they built their own gods. You know, it would be almost disappointing unless you realize God placed that on them so you would be careful, so that you would not be deceived. For Jesus did say, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived by the false Christ. Mark 13. Verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, you look here, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. It's going to happen. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Who is he talking to here? Why is God talking to you? I won't hear them. No, he's talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to those that like to make other religions. That's who he's talking to. It doesn't apply to you. God loves you. And he says, you obey my voice and be a doer of my word, and I'll be your God and you'll be my people, and it will be well with you. You should have a real good life, regardless of how many contentions, conspiracies, or fallacies are happening around you. You should have it real good, because God is with you. God comforts us sometimes at the very worst times in this earth. And that comfort goes a long, long way. He said, look, they won't listen. Verse 12. Then shall the cities of Judah and, you understand, this is besides the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. The time of their trouble is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the tribes. And for the inhabitants that are misled, you know, it's, let it always be strengthening and encouraging to you when you read the ninth chapter of the great book of Revelation. When you come to that verse 4 where it says, God says to Satan, you can go down there and you can sting all the non-believers, but don't you touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. All that simply means, what's in your forehead? Your brain. And your brain, use it. Understand God's voice, His word, and be a doer of it. And Satan can't touch you. Why? You're too intelligent. You're too spiritually in tune. You have spiritual discernment to the point. And in gaining spiritual discernment, you know at the same time that God gave you power over Satan, and you can tell him to hit the road, Jack, and mean it in the name of Christ. He has to run. You have that power. That's an awesome responsibility, and yet one to love rather than to dread. That God gives you that right to gain that strength and that power to know and to understand that our Father is in control, that our Father leads, guides. And that's why you make that little prayer. If you think you're off, say, correct me. Do it justly, as I know you will. That means you've got confidence in Him that whatever He decides for you, you'll take it. Okay? Okay, next verse. Let's go with it. Verse 13. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. You worshipped everything that wiggled. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. You know what that means? To worship another god, which is to say Satan the Antichrist. Not the Christ in the future sense, but in, what does anti mean in the Greek tongue? It means instead of. It means Satan standing there instead of Jesus, and they worship him because they've been told, he's going to fly us out of here. Get on the bus. Get on the wagon. You don't have to understand God's word. All you have to do is believe and you're going to fly away. Yeah, right in Satan's camp. That's what Satan's counting on, is people being ignorant and senseless and not listening to our Father's word. And most of all, he doesn't count on them to be doers. Just little pew potatoes that sit back and say, bless me, bless me, bless me. Do something. Be strong. And of all things, never be a wimp. God can't use wimps too good, okay? He'll take care of the rest because he has given you that power. One more verse to complete. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. Don't even bother with it. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. That's the very last days, when it's one day too late, Charlie. Just as it was at Kadesh Barnea. But we'll go on over now. Too late, Charlie. 40 years till this generation dies off. So it will be at that time. If you've worshipped Satan, and if you've already participated in a wedding before the true husband even gets here, would you expect him to take you? I don't think so. You'll just have to wait then until the second resurrection, which doesn't come until the end of the millennium. Sorry, Charlie. You should have been in God's Word instead of listening to senseless jabber, which can sure lead you a long ways off from the path of God. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart, you listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. Spirit moves. You got a question? Share it. Please never ask a question about a revolving rev, some one verse Charlie, some denomination or organization. Let's don't judge people. God is our only judge. That's all we need for this particular dispensation. And he's real good at it. All you do is you put that word out. And you do that commandment, all right? He loves you. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request. You don't need that number. You don't need an address. God knows what you're thinking right now. Do you know why? You're his child, and he loves you. You're unique. You're different than any other person. That's why he created you that way. He may not love what you're doing, but he sure loves you. Let him know you return that love. He'll bless you. Father, around the globe, we come and ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. Chuck from Nebraska. Question. In heaven, where all the souls that have yet to be born into the flesh, are they divided by the gulf based on what they did in the first earth age? Are they given the ability to interact with those that have already passed through the flesh? I think, let's just analyze what we do know, and we don't know that much about the present condition. And this is a good question. But God said in the great book of Genesis, let us, meaning I'm speaking to a group of people, this is plural, Elohim, God and the children, let us make man in our image. So they were all together. When that statement was made to be born of woman into this earth age. So they have that right and that freedom. And many times, I think, in just analyzing, and I'm just talking here when probably, let's take General Patton. General Patton loved military strategy. And he would, when he was in Greece, he would go where all the old battles had been, and he said, it's just like I was almost here. But if your attention is drawn to one thing so strong, I think it's almost like he was there. He was observing. I don't mean actually there, but before he entered his mother's womb, he observed, because that's what he was interested in. And we are intelligent beings, and God is an intelligent being. So I'm going to leave it at that, because as to whether they can communicate with, it is not promised that they can until the millennium communicate, let's say, with the losing side. Say, I'm from Texas. Why do you not care for the prayer of intercession? When we have a prayer request, we are asking for you to intercede for our behalf. We know that God knows what we're thinking. I don't know why you would think I would not believe in intercessory prayer. I teach it, I believe it, I do it. Okay, I do not know. I guess maybe you are thinking about the people that commit the unpardonable sin. There, you may have heard me in teaching that particular scripture. God says, don't pray even an intercessory prayer for them. because he won't hear it if they commit the unpardonable sin, okay? But basically, all in all, I am a strong believer in intercessory prayer. Elena from Michigan. But what is biblically proper? Could you tell me what communion is all about and how often we should partake in it as Christians? Thank you so much for your teachings, and God bless you. Jesus taught through Paul that in 1 Corinthians that as often as you partake, you know, that and that when you gather. And that's when I believe they get. How often did they gather? They didn't even see each other until the feast days, basically. That's about three times a year. That's what we take it. There is no sin in taking it more often than that if you're ill or if you need it. But I do not like, nor do I approve, but I would never condemn a church for doing communion every week. But I think if you're not careful, sometimes you can take something ever so beautiful and make it a ritual, and it really loses. That's all I have to say about it. Louise from Georgia, 79 years old. You're a young lady there. Answer if you would. Please explain how Jesus will return as it is written in Acts chapter 1 verses 9, 10, and 71. Here it was a cloud in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse. Which is right? I can't get it straight in my mind. I know you can help me. Well, thank you for the vote of confidence. Sometimes a cloud can hide vehicles even, you know, like spoken of by Ezekiel. And sometimes the horses of the Bible, I have a work on that that might help you with that. A little advanced, but you'd love it, and you'll see it in the tape catalog, the horses of the Bible. They are kind of special horses. And but Christ, as it is written, it will appear that he comes on that. You'll find it is prophecy. And in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says in verse 9, he will come riding the colt of an ass, which that means a low little animal. But in verse 10, which is the second advent, that's the first advent. The second advent, he does ride that white stallion, okay? Thomas from, that does not necessarily mean it will be a literal stallion or horse, okay? It could still be, as it was promised in Acts, as you see him go, so shall he return. And you never know what the cloud covers, remember that. Thomas from Texas. I've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit for some years now, but I fell into spiritual adultery. Will God forgive me if I turn and repent while wholeheartedly and rededicate my life back to Christ? That's what Christianity is about. We all fall short at times, or fall away, or not necessarily fall away, all of us, but some do, but then sometimes we just sin in life because we're not perfect. But that's what God is about, okay, is forgiving. He loves his children. Don't you, when your children come and apologize to you, do you forgive them, or do you hang on to it? And actually, if they really mean it from their heart and they repent to you, you're going to forgive them. Well, so does God forgive you. As a matter of fact, God even says, if you don't forgive, he won't forgive you, but he will forgive when you ask. God never. How many times did Jesus say that you should forgive someone? 7 times 70. That's 490 times, okay? I don't think anybody could sin that much. Ernie from New York. In Hurricane Katrina and other natural disasters such as earthquakes and the tsunami that's been happening in the recent past, signs of the last days from God, are we seeing signs of the last days, or is this just Mother Nature? What signs will we see in the last days? Well, God says there will be signs and great waves, and they are signs. But that doesn't mean people should be stupid. Okay. Everybody's trying to blame the government and the governor. And hey, How many days warning, anybody that's lived through a hurricane, how many days warning did they have? Get out of Dodge! Oh, well, tomorrow, mañana. I probably should not use that tone, but that probably wouldn't fit New Orleans. They had plenty of warning, and there was enough cars to get everybody out of town. If you're going to sit and drown yourself, then that's sad. But everybody was warned, and now we got to find the scapegoat, and they're still paying lodging for some of the people that wouldn't get out of Dodge. And I take more pride in myself and in America. And, we're supposed to take care of people that can't help themselves, but these people can help themselves. And I don't feel good about New Orleans being grounded, but hey, I've been down there, seen that, and I thought I wouldn't want to live in this place underwater, because I've seen, I've lived through hurricanes in Japan, I've lived through hurricanes in the Pacific, on Saipan. I've had to stay behind one time when there was sheet metal flying around like toothpicks. It doesn't take long, and especially if you live down on the coast, if a hurricane is coming, get! And then you don't have all that trouble screaming and raving, we need help! Well, hey, I agree that we need to help them rebuild. But I don't feel all that sorry for people that had an ample warning to get out of Dodge, okay? I mean, you have to take some responsibility for yourself. Well, are you downing those people? No, I feel sorry for them, and I prayed for them all the way through it. And a lot of them are students of this chapel, lots of them. But the ones that are students of this chapel are well-trained. They got out of Dodge, okay? And they didn't need all that much help. So I just thank our Father for the fact that He gives these signs. But, it's this simple. Really, for some people, I guess I need to really simplify this. If danger is coming, when a typhoon, a hurricane, a cyclone, a tornado, or a tsunami is coming, nobody can help you if you're there. It doesn't matter how many government vehicles you got standing by, it would wash them away just like it would you. It would tear them up. They got to stay off a distance to then come in and help. But what you are to do, if it's going to be dangerous, hello, dumbo, get out of Dodge, okay? And you'll be safe. Now, I know I may offend some people, but I'm a teacher of truth and I'm a realist. So get real. And wake up and smell the coffee and the flowers, okay? There is nature, and people have to take a certain responsibility for themselves. Be wise. Be wiser than the serpent, okay? And I'm sure I'll get a few letters about that, but then, praise God, maybe next time some people will get on their horses and get out of Dodge when danger is coming. It's really kind of sad when you got to tell somebody, isn't it? The reason I can say that, I've lived through just about every tragedy that there's ever been for men as far as nature is concerned in my travels around this great globe. And I know it's dangerous. You better get cover, okay? Get out of danger. Melba from Georgia. Pastor Murray, I've been viewing your ministry about 3 months now, and I must tell you that it has truly helped me in so many ways. You are so thorough and knowledgeable. Well, thank you. God's Word is thorough, and God's Word is knowledge. Okay, thank you for that. Question. Why did the Father allow Satan's spirit to run rampant all over this land? What was His purpose? Please answer soon. What is the unforgivable sin or sins? There's only one, and that's to disallow the Holy Spirit to speak through you when you're delivered up before Antichrist, if you're one of God's elect. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Now, why did God allow Satan's spirit to run to and fro? Because the Holy Spirit runs to and fro. You have, that way, this life in the flesh is a time of choosing. Now, a third of God's children fell in the first earth age. You can't even understand this age if you don't understand the first one. Now, God had to make a choice. He could either destroy a third of His children, just bottom out, kill them, or being a father of love as he is, he condemns Satan to death, Ezekiel 28, verses 17 and 18, 19 rather, and destroyed the earth age, and caused each person to be born in the flesh. Wasn't in the flesh before, but in the flesh now. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it grieved God that he had now made man flesh also in this earth age. And it's a choice. Now, if we didn't have the negative here, we wouldn't be tested. That's why you got the devil's spirit. But it's just like God, Christ could have run Satan's spirit back to heaven when he found it in the hogs. But instead, Christ let it go into the hogs to show you that a poor old hog, one of the lowest carnal flesh, would rather drown himself than live with the devil. Okay? But he gave us power. The reason he let the spirits run free, he gave us power over them. You don't have to put up with them in your life. You can tell them where to go, how far, and when in Christ's name to get away from you and your family and mean it. You don't have to put up with it. That's authority as a Christian to take charge. So, fine, let him roam all he wants to, but he better stay away from me. Because I'll give him a thumping. I will thump his gourd if he wants to come in the morning before breakfast and bring some of his buddies. Bring them on. I'm ready. Okay? Well, I know in Christ I've got the victory. And I'm not afraid to use that power. Okay? So don't you be. That's why I'm not bragging. I'm just giving you a fact. Be a warrior for God. Paul from Arizona. Do you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? I don't believe in any rapture. Do you know why, Paul? There's no such thing as a rapture. That's a figment of somebody's imagination in the year 1830. Poor little old girl, not even in her right mind, came up with this any moment doctrine, and there was two preachers there, and they said, oh, this is it. This is the way. All in the world that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches is that it's where the dead are. That's the subject. And most people can read and they know a subject when they see one. Well, what are you talking about? Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen, Paul said, about where the dead are, where those are that are. If you believe Christ rose from the dead, you better believe all those that are with him have risen also. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. There is no way that the living can precede the dead. Why? They're already gone. Okay, they're with him. So you're in bad shape if you still believe rapture when it's not even in the Bible. Okay, read. Sherry from Kansas, what is your opinion over the news this past few days about the lawsuits from someone over in Europe wanting a certain church to prove it in court that the existence of Christ? I'm a little worried about the outcome of it. You don't have to worry. You know, let them look at a calendar. What does it say? Well, if Anno Domini 2006, well, what does that mean? It means the year of our Lord 2006. I mean, our whole calendar is based on it. And all of our history. You don't only have to prove it from God's word, it's in history all over. That'd be the easiest case in the world to win. But you always have people that their elevator doesn't stop, go all the way to the top floor. Okay? And they just can't stand the thoughts that they are not gods themselves. They are so important. They can't believe that we have a loving God, a Father, that created all things. But that'd be the easiest trial in the world. And you don't have to worry about it because you know he does exist. He exists in our heart. He answers our prayers. His spirit is with us. He gives us the victory. And praise God. Easiest case in the world. Don't you stop worrying right now. Sharon from Kansas, please explain the scripture in the beginning of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word logos is the word in the manuscripts. In the beginning was when God spoke, and you have what we call in the Hebrew a polysyndeton, which is the word and, before every verse in Genesis chapter 1. And it means, and the Spirit, which is the Word, which is Christ, was right there. Well, how could Christ be there in the beginning? What did God say to call him? He said, name him what? Emmanuel. What's that? God with us. So let there be no great mystery in the triune Godhead, that God is in whatever dimension it takes to care for man. And to, do you understand that the Godhead is in a dimension that you couldn't see in the flesh? But Yeshua, that is to say, God's Savior, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, was in this dimension. We could see him. He could talk to us. That's why he would say in St. John chapter 14, you see me, you've seen the Father, period. Okay? So that's what it meant, is Christ is the living Word. You hear my sign off every day. Jesus is the living Word. That's why you want to stay in it. It was with him in the beginning, and he is the Word. That's that Word that we're to obey and do. Gene from Washington. Dr. Murray, you always say family is important, but what if your family says they hate you and they wish you would die if you don't believe in the flyaway doctrine, and they decide to disband you? What do you do? Just keep being a child of God, a beautiful daughter of God, Gene, like you are. And not worry about it. You'll have to help them in the millennium. But just know and set an example. They've been misled, they're deceived, but hey, by the grace of God, there go I. Okay? But they need, and who knows, by your example, don't ever argue Bible with family. Okay? A prophet among his own is without honor. They're not going to listen to you. Okay? They know how dirty your socks get and everything else, okay? So sometimes it's hard to get through, but you keep setting that beautiful example that you are, it'll come out fine, okay? I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, and most of all, God loves you for it. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Oh, verse, obey his voice and do it. He'll always love you for that. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. You know what? He will always bless you in return. Now, most important in your life, you stay in that Word. Oh, every day in it is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.